Hello everyone and welcome to This Week in Crypto. On this episode, we have Jack O'Halloran, CEO of Scale Labs, a blockchain scalability platform that provides high-speed consensus and empowers dApps to run smart contracts. Jack, thank you so much for joining us.
Pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
So let's get right into it. Can you tell us what is Scale?
Yeah, Scale is a blockchain scaling network. And the interesting thing about it is that it's actually rooted into the Ethereum network. So Scale lives both on Ethereum and it supports decentralized applications that want to make their Ethereum smart contracts or applications go faster. So it's a secondary network that has essentially tentacles and components built into Ethereum.
And is this a layer one solution? Or is this a base layer or a layer two solution?
So there are many use cases. So what we're building, and with the Scale, it's an open source project. It's decentralized. Anyone who has a token or contributes is an owner. But what the Scale network is really a decentralized cloud. So anything you could run on Amazon Web Services, you could run in Scale. And so why would you run it in Scale rather than AWS? Well, the reason why is if you need to run blockchain. So there are many things you can do with it. The main use case is to run an Elastic sidechain, which essentially is a version of Ethereum that runs adjacent to Ethereum that can be leveraged for storage, for running smart contracts, for running transactions, and basically make your Ethereum instance run very, very fast at very low costs.
So is the Elastic blockchain, is that another word for a sidechain?
So great question. So the nuance here and the difference is that a sidechain, they have typically been faster because there's just less number of nodes in the network. So let's say Ethereum, let's say has 10,000 nodes. That means there's 10,000 computers essentially needing to all talk to each other, agree every 15 seconds. And that's why it's slow. And so if you had a traditional sidechain, you might have, let's say you had 16 nodes. Well, they're just going to be faster because less of them need to network and talk and carry the same state. And it's going to cost less because you don't have to replicate the data in as many places. An Elastic sidechain is still, at the end of the day, let's say there's 16 nodes in that chain, but the way that the nodes are selected within that chain are from a big pool. So let's say in the Scale network, there's 10,000 nodes. Well, randomly, computers are selected and they're put into these little groups that then work and operate as sidechains. And then those sidechain nodes can also be rotated, and they also have a stake in the network. So that's one component of elasticity, is how nodes are selected. So it's a really dynamic way to create blockchains, and they can be configured for size. So let's say I run a game in the centralized world in Web2 on Amazon EC2, and it's just me and Marcos, my colleague, and we have 20 users. We're going to get this very small instance. If all of a sudden we have 1 million users, we're going to need to get a bigger instance so we can move up. And that's Elastic. And you can do the same thing in Scale. And you have your own back end that can connect back to the Ethereum mainnet.
So does Scale also operate nodes? Do you guys have like nodes as a service?
So anybody can operate a node. So anyone listening who has some DevOps skills can run one in the cloud. You can run one in your basement. You can run one in a colocation center. It's just a server. It needs to have a certain number of requirements. It's a computer, essentially. And you run the same software as every other computer in the network. And it's an open network. Just like people come run Ethereum nodes, people can come run Scale nodes. And that's the software works interoperably with the pieces of the Scale network that are built into Ethereum.
Can you tell me a little bit about how Scale differentiates from some of the other scalability solutions that exist for Ethereum?
Yeah. So one really interesting paradigm is that many solutions are geared towards never needing to trust any nodes other than the mainnet. So there are nodes on the mainnet, they run consensus, meaning all the nodes need to talk and make sure they all have the same data. And if one of them doesn't, well, that might be a node that's trying to steal or just it's inaccurate. Now, in other layer two scaling techniques, such as plasmas, state channels, rollups, these are actually cryptographic techniques that still need another set of computers outside the network, and typically one that needs to be trusted. But what happens is they're all trying to solve for never needing to trust another set of nodes for consensus other than the mainnet. And so they use these things called fraud proofs. And what they do is they try to say, The one source of truth is Ethereum. Now, Scale has a different approach. Scale uses another set of validators and uses randomness and rotation and incentive structures to keep those validators honest. And all of a sudden, when you do that, you do need to trust another set of nodes, but you get such greater performance and usability and user experience. The other thing too is when developers run on Scale, they get their own block, they get their own backend, their own database. And it's just like they all get their own version of Ethereum. You could think of all the Scale chains all being these small, fast versions of Ethereum. And so then they get their own. And if yours is really fast or you get a lot of users one day and I don't, then it doesn't cost me more because of your success, just like happens on the mainnet. So Scale takes an approach to which I think is more practical and realistic with user experience requirements. But at the same time, when you know Scale supports rollup, Scale will support Plasma. If Plasma ever got to a point where, you know, the core team felt like it was ready for main prime time, but it's really another network that's adjacent to Ethereum and integrated.
So Scale can run independently of Ethereum?
Well, so a developer could come and run something entirely on Scale. Okay. Now, Scale can't run entirely independent of Ethereum. Scale is actually built into Ethereum. A huge bulk of the orchestration and staking and essentially the brains of the Scale network live both in the Scale network and on the Ethereum network. So they're one network combined. It's really an extension of Ethereum that makes Ethereum go really fast. Now, the main way you would use Scale, because Scale is not a shared public ledger, it's your own ledger, is you still want to have a connection back to a mainnet in most use cases, like Ethereum. So the ideal way to use it is with Ethereum.
Okay, great. And can you tell me a little bit more of where Scale is at? Is this already on mainnet and people are already building on this? Or is it something that you're launching?
We are getting very, very close to mainnet launch. And we're very excited, too, about the way that we're launching mainnet and the way the community is launching mainnet. So it's a decentralized entity. Scale Labs is a corporation that just supports the network, just like no one owns Ethereum, no one owns Scale. And Scale will run what we call a proof of use launch. So anyone can buy a token and they can buy it through consensus, activate. And what happens is you can't buy that and start trading on exchanges. You need to get this token. You actually have to participate. So you don't need to be an engineer. Anybody pretty much can do it, has a computer, and you're able to, and knows a little bit about blockchain, and you're able to buy the token and stake it and start getting rewards over a period of time. And that's the way we're launching. We're going to be doing that early Q2. And again, tokens won't be listed on exchanges for a while. We really want to show the utility of the network and grow the health of the network. There's very long-term goals here.
So you're launching a new token. It's going to be available to the general public?
Yeah. Yeah, even unaccredited investors in the U.S. will be able to buy this because they're not buying something that's a security, that it's a piece of paper that says I own, you know, a share of a company. They're buying a piece of software that then they have to use. And if you buy it and you don't use it, then your purchase gets canceled, your money gets refunded. So it's done through smart contracts, through the Activate platform on consensus that really focuses on health of network and utility of token as opposed to a quick surge. Now, we think that it's actually a better long-term way, and there are a lot of people that are very excited about this. And you know, you look at the early supporters of Scale, and you can see some of the top venture capital firms in the world behind this. And so there's a slow, focused approach that's coming underway that we're excited about that's also, we think, very compliant.
Great. So that's not very common to hear, like a token sale in 2020. But I guess the way you're doing it is if it doesn't have utility, then through a smart contract, the sale doesn't happen.
Whoever buys the token, you would have to, your money would get refunded to you. You wouldn't be able to execute. And so we don't call it a token sale. It's not a token sale. You do have to buy a token in order to participate. We're calling it a network launch. And it's a way to optimize around the launch of the network. And so the network too will be locked. It's not like we're selling and it goes on an exchange. And it's hard to go from security to utility overnight. And so this mechanism really helps instill the utility component to the software, which the software is the token.
And did you say you're doing this through Consensus?
Yeah, Consensus Codify is a very, very innovative group within Consensus that are launching decentralized finance business and applications and structures and products. And one of their products is called Activate. And we got pretty excited about it because it is a very compliant way, and I think strong way if you're focused on developer success to launch a network. And I know we feel very fortunate they selected Scale as the launch partner. And so people can read about this at by checking out Consensus Activate or going to scale.network, scale with a K, and you can link to read up on it.
Can you tell me about launching a token in 2020? What are some things that you've learned from other projects in the past that you've implemented on Scale as a project?
We have somewhat unique backgrounds, Stan and I, who are the two founders. And I have 15 years of startup experience in Silicon Valley, 12 of which I've been a founder. Stan has about 22 years of startup experience in Silicon Valley and has been a founder for a significant number of those of his years also. And so we really approach this from the perspective of how are we going to get a million developers using Scale, and how are we going to help each developer get a million daily active users on their application? So we want to help put the app into dApp is kind of what I would say. And we've been very focused on results. And so what we did need to learn about, and we also have been crypto enthusiasts for a long time and cryptography enthusiasts, but we had the ability, I think, to watch and learn from other best practices and failures, and also see the compliance mature and develop and the ecosystems mature and develop from a legal framework. So I think one of the main things we learned is if you really care about follow through and helping actually get usage on these networks, you should not launch a token until you're ready to launch the network. And that's one of the main things we're doing different. A lot of these projects launched a token, and the token's traded, and they're years away from ever launching a product and having customers. And it's really difficult to get something launched when you're under the scrutiny of your shareholders and you don't have a product yet. And so we thankfully didn't make that mistake. And I think we optimized for really the developers.
Can you tell me a little bit more about the Scale token, why it's being created, why it's needed, and what its role is in the ecosystem?
Yeah, so Scale, it's a usage token, and that's why we have to prove utility, okay? So we need to prove utility, and not just prove utility, but we are developer first. We care about user experience for the customers, the users of dApps, and we care about user experience for developers. So we need to make sure that we have a strong, stable network for them. And we meaning the open source community around the code. Now, what the token does is if a developer says, hey, I'm running a game, like Marcos and I have our game, then we have to get Scale tokens. You can swap them easily with Ethereum tokens. And you buy a Scale chain for 6 months or 12 months or 24 months. And I have that chain. And I can also say I want a small chain, a medium chain, a large chain. And then I can run as many transactions through that chain as I want. I don't pay, my users aren't paying for transaction. I'm subsidizing the gas cost by paying for the service over a period of time. It's really almost Ethereum as a service, just like you have software as a service or platform as a service business models in traditional software. That's what the token is. And at the same time, I mentioned incentives. People that run nodes have to buy Scale tokens, have to stake them into the network, and then they can earn tokens. And from a work token perspective. And if you, as a validator, try to steal money from a developer, from a chain, guess what? You lose your stake. So the token secures the network. It's also the payment vehicle for developers to pay for the network. And it's an ERC-77 token, and it lives in Ethereum, and it's protected by the Ethereum network.
So can you tell me about your consensus mechanism? Is it simply proof of stake?
No, it's a Scale. It's called Scale Consensus. So Stan Kladko, the CTO of Scale, who is my co-founder, he has a PhD in physics. He's got over 20 years of cryptography experience. He's one of the people, the physicists that built the Java virtual machine at Sun back in the day. And a lot of the code that lives in Android today was written by Stan. He also was part of a cryptography startup back in 2000 that was incubated out of Stanford when he was doing research there. And with Professor Dan Bonet, and he ran a crypto lab for 7 years. So Stan has a philosophy of never trying to invent math proofs. It takes decades and so much research in academia to invent new math proofs. So what Skill Consensus is, it's Stan and a team of PhDs that are on the Skill core engineering team that were able to analyze the best models around what I would call leaderless BFT, leaderless Byzantine fault tolerant consensus. And so Scale really is an amalgamation of proven techniques, and it's mathematically provable end to end, and it's very fast. It's sub-second.
Can you tell me a little bit about gas? Is it, since it's on Ethereum, is gas fees still paid in ETH? And
So gas, it's a really good question. So gas is actually one of the main purpose of gas on the Ethereum mainnet is to prevent DOSing, prevent denial of service attacks. And so for people that don't know what that means, it's essentially someone could create a bug, and let's say Marcos and I's game, we have a browser, an open, you know, it's working through the browser. Well, somebody could ping our game online a million times a second, and we can't do anything because our network's under attack. And so what happens is, to defend against that, you either need to have proof of work mechanisms like Cloudflare in the centralized world, in the Web2 world, which are great and feasible, but in a pure decentralized ecosystems, what's been leveraged is gas. And so if I ping the network a million times, guess what? And it's 10 cents a transaction, I can only ping the network not very much because I'm going to run out of money. And so what Scale does is you only pay gas fees on the Ethereum mainnet when the user goes in and out of the Scale chain. So the end user playing a game, for example, the developer would have a hook into Scale and a hook into Ethereum. And then when the user puts the money in and the money goes into Scale, there's a gas fee. And then let's say I say, you know what, I'm going to pull out these game tokens and I'm going to go sell them. Then when I pull the money out, then I have to pay the gas fee on the mainnet. And then all the other, let's say I played a million times over the course of a year at a million smart contract calls, I don't get pay any gas on those. But what happens to protect the Scale chain? You have a question and I can explain the rest.
Is this similar to like a Lightning Network or batching transactions where anything that's done off chain, is that how you avoid the fees? And then once it gets finalized on Ethereum, that's all you have to pay?
Yeah, but the way it's somewhat different is that it only needs to be paid when people want to leave the system. So as long as my money is still in the application and I'm still playing and I might leave it in there forever and I'm not taking it out, then what happens is my money gets frozen on the mainnet and clones are created that run in the Scale chain. And I just use the clones. If I spend all of them and I try to take them out of the mainnet, the consensus says, you don't have any tokens. You lost them in the game. But if I didn't and I accrued more, that would also be calculated. And then when I try to pull them out, Scale consensus would say, yes, you have 100 tokens now. You can take them out. And then the clones then are burned or destroyed. And then they're released. The other assets are released on the mainnet and they go back to the end user. The end user, the beauty is, never knows they use. They never know the use scale. The math is all done between the two ledgers on the systems that talk back and forth.
Right. And so one of the biggest struggles for other blockchains that need lots of validators is obviously getting too many validators and also to getting many dApps to build on their project. Can you tell me a little bit about like what your go-to market strategy is for Scale?
Yeah, I mean, our strategy, the first 18 months, we didn't really talk to any validators. We had a philosophy that, and we definitely talked to them to make sure we were building the right way and that we'd be compatible with their world, but we focused on developers. And so I think there's demands, every two-sided market has a demand side and a supply side typically. And what drives almost every two-sided market is demand. Supply will be there, validators will be there, if they can make money and run profitable businesses. And so what we thought of is validators at some point are going to be really optimizing for usage on networks, not token speculation. And so the go-to-market approach has entirely been around, how do we make champions out of developers? How do we help them get a million daily active users? How do we improve the user experience for their users and for themselves when using decentralized systems?
So are you in beta right now? Have you had some beta developers try out the platform, give feedback?
Yeah, you know, I'm a big fan of product market fit and customer development. And Steve Blank invested in the first company that I had started a long time ago. And And he's the author of Four Steps to Epiphany. Eric Ries, who wrote Lean Startup, is one of his kind of mentees, so to speak. So what we did, we really, it's hard to do customer product market fit too when you can't sell anything that's usable in the real world until you launch a mainnet. And so we got around that by one, doing a ton of interviews and talking to developers. And also we were building for ourselves. Stan and I were the customer. We both wanted to launch something on the dApp side or decentralized exchange side. We were our customers. We were building for ourselves. But then what we did is we went out and we had a beta version and we got people to use it. And we had this thing called the Scale Innovator Program. And we give these companies engineering resources, support, connections to investors, mentoring. And what happens is they then use and test and try the network and give us feedback. And so there's 35 companies and projects and decentralized applications now in the Scale Innovator Program that are all testing, trying, using, and helping evolve the mainnet.
And so are these developers, or once you launch into mainnet, do you see the developer base being mainly consisting of blockchain developers, or do you see sort of more traditional application developers come onto the platform?
So we are going entirely after it's super users right now. We're going after blockchain developers that develop for Ethereum. And our philosophy is that that's where the market will grow and evolve. And I've studied many different business models and market growth areas. And you need to get the opinion leaders in the early market and you need to win that market. And if you can do that and help make those people very successful, and you're in a growth market, then you're in great shape when the market grows 100x. And I think that's going to happen with blockchain. And I think we're going to see traditional bigger companies adopt components of within blockchains and even decentralize components of themselves or give control around certain areas of their business, really to grow community and to bootstrap businesses and business models, or just to get competitive advantage over an incumbent who owns 99% of the market.
Can you tell me about some of the applications that the developers from your innovator program are building or have built?
Yeah, so they're about one third gaming, about one third in the DeFi space, and one third entirely mixed. And whether it be B2B disruptors building marketing technology tools or real estate tools or ad tech disruptive tools, social networking, music streaming. There's so many categories. The cool thing is that they all use Scale the exact same way, primarily, where they connect, they take their smart contract, they move it over to the Scale chain, they basically clone it over to the Scale chain, and then they make money be frozen and cloned into Scale, and they run smart contracts on the Scale chain. And some of them use file storage, some of them don't. But in general, the code doesn't care if the smart contract's calling on a payment for a piece of music or someone eyeballs watching an advertisement, which is one of the cool things that lets us go horizontal more quickly. But we stay very focused on who the developer set is, and that's Ethereum dApp developers.
And what type of tools do you have available for these developers? And are there other products that you could compare it to as far as cost?
Yeah, so I would say it's akin to running something on Amazon or DigitalOcean or Google Cloud. And it's a little bit different model because of the nature of blockchain. The same space that you would buy on Amazon, you're then replicating horizontally 16 times on a blockchain. So you're naturally paying a little bit more, but you're paying for the benefits you get with the blockchain, with decentralization. The reality is too, is when you buy something on Amazon, you don't pay for the data once. They actually back it up for you multiple times. And if you're an enterprise client, it's backed up 8 times, okay? But they have different cost mechanisms to make it more cost-effective for them to store your data, and it's slower to be called upon. So it ends up being roughly in the, a little more expensive, but in the same category, but I think brings a lot more value to developers than just running something on Amazon.
Great. And before we wrap it up here, do you have any final announcements for any of the Scale community?
Well, one thing I want to say is we're here at ETH Denver. I've been saying this for a long time, but it's been very clear to me that the Ethereum ecosystem is thriving and booming. It's unbelievable to see the amount of tooling taking place. So when you were saying, well, what sort of tools do we give developers? Well, they have Scale, but guess what? It all runs in the Ethereum ecosystem. You can use Truffle to deploy to Scale. You can you can use Remix, and you can use all these tools that are just naturally that have just evolved within this ecosystem. And Scale is 100% compatible with everything in the ecosystem. And you know, you see people like the Graph, or companies like the Graph, creating very cool analytics products that will work on a Scale chain. You have Portis, Bitsky, Fortmatic, Taurus that are building API-based wallets that all connect into Scale and Ethereum. So it's amazing to see the ecosystem thrive, and I'm excited about it. And I think a lot of people are really starting to catch on to that. So at Scale, we're excited. We're excited to support Ethereum. And we're excited to launch this network and get into mainnet, as I talked about earlier.
What are your thoughts on Ethereum 2.0 and sort of like the delayed process to get there?
Yeah, well, hey, building decentralized networks that are scalable and secure is really, really time consuming. And we're excited for Scale is and the Scale community about integrating with E2O when it's ready. I think it makes Scale even more valuable, and Scale makes Ethereum even more valuable when we get to 2.0. And I have a lot of empathy for them, because it's not an easy task. Now, the hardest thing, I think, is going to be not the coding, but getting the community and the tokens and the usage switched over. That is something that no one's talking about that has me concerned. And there's been a lot of different proposals. There's been thoughts around having a one-way bridge for a while, where as soon as you move your over to ETH2, you lose your ETH1s are done. And yeah, that's scary. So now I think they're thinking of a two-way bridge. But if anyone's familiar with organizational structure and change management, and even technology change management, if in big organizations of moving people from different software versions, it's difficult. And it's really hard to move an entire world of a decentralized community from one version to the other. So that's a piece that I look forward to hopefully being able to support and help Ethereum. I've got a lot of experience in my career doing that, and there are many other people who have more experience than me that hopefully will be able to add value. But it's an under-talked about challenge, and it's something that I think, you know, once we get the tech in place, people are going to realize that we better get a lot of organization and structure, or the process will have a lot of hiccups. But I think they're going to get there with the tech. There's a lot of smart people working on it, and I think people should be excited. But also, this summer you're going to be able to run ETH1 and Scale and go really fast, and also hopefully have other tools at your disposal as well.
Great. And for those of you that would like to learn more about Scale, be sure to visit scale.network. You guys can check out the documentation. And thank you for staying tuned to the end of this episode. This is where we get to learn a little bit about Jack. So Jack, can you tell us a little bit about your career before Scale?
Yeah, so I'm actually from a small town in Nebraska originally. And I was aspiring to play in the NFL. I played college football at Nebraska and had an injury. And thankfully, I had a couple uncles that lived in the Bay Area and managed to talk had a mentor who was a pretty influential person who helped me get an interview with a company called Good Technology, and ended up going from kind of on the bottom of the floor to being, you know, of the sales floor to becoming, an executive at that company and really working on strategy and business development and product management. And then decided to go start my own company. And I started actually a digital currency platform in 2008 after Motorola had acquired Good for, you know, almost $500 million. It was a very successful exit for the company. It was nice to see that type of growth. But then, you know, I said, hey, I want to give it a shot myself, and started a platform where NASA, for example, used it to optimize on wind tunnel time and who gets super compute time. That was the use case that it was being designed for. And then other companies could use this currency to optimize legal resourcing. And to make a long story short, we built this amazing analytics engine and ended up when the market crashed in 2008, realizing that we are a little too early for digital currencies aligning incentives, and ended up building a company called Octana, AKTANA, that almost every biotech and pharmaceutical rep in the world uses to be more optimized around delivering healthcare information. It's a AI machine learning platform. So I did that for about 9 years and had been actively following crypto for a very long time and advising and coaching a lot of companies. And then when I was starting my next company, it was a no-brainer to just do it in the Ethereum ecosystem.
Great. And so last question here, what is one project or initiative in blockchain that you think is very promising?
I think categorically, there's one of the biggest growth areas will be the API-based wallets. So the other day, there was a dApp, I won't name it right now, because, but I really wanted to use this, but I didn't have my crypto in it. I didn't have integration built. And I was like, oh, I'm gonna have to go get my ledger and plug it in. And you know what? If they would have had connectivity into, I mentioned earlier, Taurus, Portis, Bitski, Fortmatic, then, you know, and I have that on my phone. Well, I auth in immediately with Facebook or Google. My crypto's in there. I can start using it immediately. And it just really takes the UX friction away, especially when they connect back to a scale chain as well, because of the fast block times and the gasless component. But that's an area that's not talked about as much that I think will be absolutely a game changer for every person who interacts with crypto.
Great. And for those of you listening, be sure to check out the Medium post for a written summary of this episode, and go to weekincrypto.substack.com for the newsletter. And all the links for this show will be linked down in the show notes below. Jack, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. It was fun. Really a pleasure.